Good morning, everyone. I can't tell if people are replying.
There's nobody yet, I'll tell you, there's nobody here yet. Alright, one person, Sandy Vine. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Good morning, Pastor, Sandy said. See, we're gonna get.
Did Sandy, did you get that, the name of that person that I had left for you last week?
Becca Prescott.
Hi, Becca.
Bev, your sister.
Hi, Bev.
Say something. We're gonna wait a few minutes. Sandy says, yes, she did.
Okay, good, good. Well, good morning, everyone. We're just gonna kind of mill around a little bit, give people time to get on. And then we'll see how things go. I'll do a little bit of an introduction. It's obvious, kind of, even though we record every week, this certainly feels different. But I'm glad that we're able to do it. Thank you, Mike, for getting us started a long time ago, not knowing that we would actually need to do this way. I know a lot of churches were scrambling at the last minute to try to figure out how to get online because they hadn't done it before. So this
Marie
will prove to be
Lulu
interesting.
Are here.
What's that?
Marie and Lulu.
Lulu, good morning.
Your sister Bev, she said good morning, God bless you. Tell them Janet will be reading the comments to me.
Yeah, Janet, since I can't see anything, I just feel like I'm staring at this at Janet's iPad. She's behind it making faces, I think, trying to make me laugh or do something, you know, like people do. So this will be a good experience, hopefully be fun, hopefully you'll be able to benefit from it.
Ed Greenwood.
Hey, good morning, Uncle Ed. I should have gotten a prop for Uncle Ed. I don't have a prop, I need to get a prop. Every good message has a prop. So I hope everybody's doing well. I don't know what the weather is in Maine today, but it's, I heard yesterday was a little cool and kind of windy. So it's been warm here, but it's kind of a different feel to be here in this moment. I was thinking about how it was just last Sunday when we were talking about getting together, and it feels like it was several weeks ago, but it was only a week ago. So here we are again. Hopefully this will be good for all of us, and we will see some results in the coming week.
Sarah Perry.
Hi, Sarah.
Becca and James.
Hi, James. Hi, Becca.
Bonnie Desjardins.
Oh, hi, Bonnie.
Alex.
Oh, Louise and Alex.
Alejandro.
Oh, good morning.
Alejandro Goglino.
Yeah.
Say that 5 times fast.
I cannot do that. I guess I'll wait maybe like 2 more minutes and see. You can check to see if everybody's on.
We have 17 so far.
We'll give it a couple more minutes and then I'll get started with that. And then I'll do a little bit of an introduction, and then Jan is going to sing one song, one hymn. And then we'll do sort of an informal message. I was thinking that if we can pull this off, if it works well, that maybe, depending on how the week goes, maybe we can post some stuff during the week. Certainly with everything that's going on, this is a time to probably come together more and not less, and so even doing it this way can be very beneficial. So maybe we'll try to do something on a regular basis so that everybody can so that we can all stay focused, I guess.
So all right, so Ed says good morning from Ed and Candy. Louise is on now too. Our cousin Louise.
Okay.
Marsha.
Hi, Marsha.
Carol Foster.
Carol. Hi, Carol.
Bonnie says, "You're not going to sing, are you?"
I don't know. I got to think about that. So
it's, no.
There's enough distance that it would be safe, except it may not be safe for Gina. If the iPad falls over, you'll know what happened. So. Yeah, I feel like we should all be doing some sort of virtual hugs or something now. I don't know. I guess we'll have to come up with a method for that.
If people hit the hearts, we can all give each other a virtual hug.
Oh, is that how it works?
It does.
Okay.
I would say go ahead. We have 20.
Okay, let's get started. Just so that once we do this, I'll do the beginning, which is really to talk about what's going on. Kind of like being at church where we do announcements and, you know, just kind of ease into things. And then...
everyone's sending virtual hugs.
Then we'll... Oh, good. We've got plenty of hugs. Okay, so is everybody seated now? Boy, it's just like being at church. Nancy can't get them going, right?
Candy. Candy.
Good morning, Candy.
Arlene.
Hi, Arlene. So I hope everybody's doing well. That's really the most important thing. Coming together like this is probably the most critical thing that we can do to stay focused and so that we are doing well or remain doing well, certainly at this time. And this morning I thought, well, what do I want to talk about? Obviously, I want to talk a little bit about the coronavirus because I know everybody's, you know, you're hearing about it all day long, you're hearing about it day and night, depending on what you're watching for television and what you're reading online. But I want to talk about the coronavirus from a Christian perspective. And that doesn't mean that the virus itself is different for Christians, but how we should view it, how we should respond to it, and the perspective that we should have on this because we are Christians and because we have the Lord to rely on and to trust through this process. The first thing is, as I've said about many, many things, is that this virus and this particular time in history, we should be looking at this through the lens of truth. Remember, I've said probably dozens and dozens of times that until you have truth, you can't make the right decision. You can't do the right thing. You always must have truth. And of course, we know from a Christian perspective how critically important that is. First thing I wanted to mention with that is the truth about the virus is, yes, the truth is it's serious, and it is actually very, very dangerous, extremely dangerous for those that are compromised and could be dangerous for many others. So we obviously are doing this because we need to be responsible. We need to follow the protocol and make sure that we protect others. What I had been thinking about all week long is that this truly is probably more than ever a love your neighbor time. It is a time when that's the most important thing that you could think about. So it's kind of strange that loving your neighbor means that we need to be isolated from each other and from our neighbors, but that really is what we're doing. We don't need to be, the beauty of it is we can still send messages, we can, still talk on the phone, we can still love our neighbors, mainly by encouraging and praying for one another, and that's really, really important. Also, again, even for younger people, one of the problems we've seen here in Florida is a lot of spring breakers were here, and they finally shut down the beaches because the beaches were packed. It was wall-to-wall people, and they just really were not being considerate about those that were more vulnerable. So they finally had to get strict, and that probably was a good thing, and close down the beaches. Second thing is remember that as you're watching this and you're watching the news, I noticed this the other day when I was working, is that don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you read. Again, what we must do here is we must respond to everything through the lens of truth. No good decision, no right choice can be made until you have truth. And there's a lot of information out there where people like to spin this for various reasons or for personal gain. And my suggestion to, if you have a tendency to get anxious, if you have a tendency for this to wear you down, then you should definitely limit your exposure to the news. I mean, I'm not talking about ignoring it, but I am talking about limiting exposure. Decrease your exposure to the news and increase your exposure to the Lord through prayer and through reading scripture.
And music. Listening to Christian music.
Oh, and Gina says listening to Christian music. Yes, that is good as well. So she just won't let me sing along with it, but she'll let me listen. The third thing, and this I really remember that, or want you to remember this one. The third thing in the truth is remember this. This is temporary. I know it may not feel like that, like any crisis or anything that you're going through. It feels like it's going to last forever. It feels like it'll never end. You don't know how it's going to end. But actually, in this case, we have a pretty good idea. There's a lot of solid information out there that will help us understand this. Remember that there is that the coronavirus is part of a family of viruses. And this is a new spin on the virus from everything that I hear. And what typically happens is they typically behave in a similar manner. So when you think about this being temporary, what you need to remember, to use a term that we use in the world of finance, these viruses, as this unfolds and the number of people affected by it, if you chart it out, is going to look like a bell curve. Basically, it just looks like a bell. The number of infections, the number of casualties, number of people, fatalities, the number of people that are getting really, really sick, that's going to go straight up, and it's going to look like a bell, and then it's going to flatten out. And then once it flattens out, you will see it drop off relatively quickly in the same manner that it went up. Right now, we don't know when that's going to be, but I've done a lot of research on that, certainly from my investment perspective, to try to understand what that means. And when this whole thing had unfolded, I had sort of estimated that would be nearer the end of the month. Hoping it'll be a little bit earlier, but we should see it flatten out and start to drop off like that. And the good news is when it drops off, it should drop off quickly. And one of the reasons for that is because people are now complying with the protocol. So just remember this. Sometimes when you're in a crisis, you always say, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, in this case, we all do know what to do. We know exactly what to do. And we just need to be committed to doing it. And what we do is, I think we can have the comfort and confidence to know that if we do what we're supposed to do, everything's going to work out fine. Lastly, when we look at this type of thing in terms of watching the news, if you're not sure like what you're looking at, I would just say avoid forums that promote conspiracy theories or promote blame. Or any kind of hype. Those things, they're not there for your best interest. They're going to make you anxious, and worse yet, they're going to help distract you in terms of what you should be doing, which is keeping your eyes on the Lord and not your eyes on everything else that's going on, and the doom and gloom and the blame and everything that goes into this. As you know, there's always somebody ready and willing to exploit a situation. These things serve only to promote fear. And just remember that fear is not from God. There is fear of God, that's a different story, but fear is not from God. So having said that, I'm going to pause here, and Janet will sing one of the hymns, and Bonnie, I will refrain from that just to keep everybody safe. Again, it's good protocol for me to do that. And then we'll come back and we'll look at the truths that set you free and why. Okay.
Hello. So, as most of you know, I play the guitar, but I don't have a guitar here. Although one of my lovely neighbors lent me a ukulele, so I'll be using the ukulele this morning. If you know the song, most of you know it. It's one of my favorites, Because He Lives. And I encourage you to sing along at home, because music is soothing, and I think if we all kind of sing together virtually, I know we can't hear each other, but I'm just hoping some of you will sing along at home.
God sent his son
Pastor Gary.
Good. Good morning again. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together in this manner and that your Spirit binds us together. We're not separated. In fact, nothing can separate us from your love. And Lord, you can use this time in our lives to make us stronger, to bring us closer to you and closer to one another. We know, Lord, that there are many people that are afraid. There are many people who fear what is going to happen to them or what this even means about the future. But Lord, none of this surprises you. None of this is out of your control. And today you sit on the throne. And Father, we can turn to you. In fact, you encourage us over and over again in your word to return to you, to trust you, to rely upon you, and to cry out to you, Lord, that you might meet our needs. And may we thank you and praise you for all that you do. I thank you and praise you for each one, each member of our body or each visitor that may be watching today. I pray that you would comfort them, that you would show them the peace that passes all understanding. For Father, when we got up this morning, the sun came up and you just keep things going and your majesty is on display for us so that we know, Lord, that you are still in control. So we would ask for your comfort, we would ask for courage and strength, and Father, we would ask for wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Anytime.
Wait. So Sandy, thank you for singing with me. I appreciate it. Sandy says she did a duet with me.
Oh, good. Good.
Suzanne Greenwood is on now.
Good. Hi, Suzanne. So remember this. Anytime you face a trial, whether it's a crisis or a pandemic, or if it's just one of those things that you're short-term, long-term, maybe it's health issues, maybe it's relational, it could be, maybe it's financial, could be any number of things. But whenever you face a trial or anything that's really, really difficult, the key to coming through that trial is always going to be in how you respond. That is key. One of the things that I saw this week is I was watching things day by day and minute by minute unfold in the markets, and I could see when certain news was being delivered that people were responding almost immediately with some level of panic. And panic is never good. In fact, we as believers, we as Christians, never have a reason to panic. How do we respond? Well, the first response should always be prayer. Whenever you're feeling uneasy, whenever you're distracted, whenever you need to be focused, the first thing you should do is take time to pray. If you look in Philippians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, it's very, very clear. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, anything, that's pretty inclusive. That's inclusive of what you're dealing with right now. You know, 6 months ago, we wouldn't have thought that we'd been dealing with something like this, but this verse covers it. This is instruction. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, the one thing that you absolutely need right now is you need to be guarding your mind. That's why I talked about being selective, making sure that you seek truth. Make sure that if you respond to anything, that you're responding to truth. You're not responding to fear or to hype. And it's only through prayer that God can keep us focused and keep us focused on the solution rather than the problem. And so our first response in any crisis should always be prayer. In fact, our first response to every day should be, or our first thing that we do every day should be to begin the day with prayer. But anyways, remember that when you are anxious and fearful, your heart and mind are being compromised. This is not a time, you know, we think about being compromised physically, but you're being compromised mentally and emotionally, which, by the way, physically is a negative. If you are anxious all the time, you're going to negatively impact your immune system. So it affects everything. For an entire year at our church, we had, on the back of our bulletin, we had God's promises. Every single week, there was a whole page full of God's promises. So what should we do with that? Well, that should be our second response. When we pray, We should be going back and we should be looking at God's promises, especially those that speak directly to what you're going through, directly to what you're feeling. And you should recite those verses in your prayers. Let me give you an example. You could, when you're praying, you can say, God, God, thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me, that I am not alone. Though I might feel alone, I'm not alone. Though I might be afraid, I need not be afraid. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, by the way, you could, if you're not sure where to go, you could pretty much turn to the book of Psalms and start reading those, and you will find things that will encourage you. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, of course, there's a picture of David walking there and through the valley, and it's very dark, it's very eerie, it's very scary. And they say that valley is so deep and narrow that the sun only shines on it at noontime when it's shining straight down. The rest of the time it's dark and it's scary and it gives that eerie feeling. And as David was going through this experience, he relied on God. And God comforted him, and he was reminded that God was watching over him and guiding him. And, you're no different than David. God is going to comfort you as well. Remember also that pretty much every instance of fear is a result of focusing on the problem, not the solution. Everybody knows what the problem is. There's no real insight there. There's nothing to nothing to discover here about what the problem is. But not everybody knows what the solution is. I mean, the solution in terms of how you would handle this. Yes, we talk about isolation and distancing, but I mean the solution to keeping peace in your heart and peace in your mind. And that solution is to, number one, go to God. First, you do it through prayer. And number two, then you've got to trust him. And then the third thing you would do is read the scriptures or read Psalms or read any of the scriptures that talk about fear. There's probably a good 40 or 50 verses that just speak to fear and reasons that we need not to fear. Excuse me. Remember, the foundation of the solution is always the same. These do not change. Go to God, and that's always going to be the foundation to the solution to this issue and to any other issue you have, and then you need to trust him. And when you read the Psalms also, again, go back and read some of the Psalms that of David. You'll see that David had a very open, very, very vibrant prayer life. He was very clear about what was going on with him when he talked to God, and he was very, very clear on his praise and on asking God for help. And you'll see that over and over again, God did help him and delivered him. One of the greatest prayer warriors that we never hear a lot about, especially in this context, I'm not really sure why, but I was thinking about it this week, and that would happen to be Daniel. We don't hear a lot about Daniel, but remember that Daniel had a significant crisis. It was a personal crisis, but it was a life and death crisis. And death was almost certain because he had been set up. King Darius was convinced to issue an edict that anyone who prays to any god or human being in the next 30 days except to your majesty shall be thrown into the lion's den. Excuse me. For Daniel, this essentially was a death sentence. But in Daniel chapter 10, what I really love about this, and remember, this is his response. You and I can respond the same way. Not only we can, but we should. And Daniel responded, it said, when he learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel was a prayer warrior. He used to do this every day. It wasn't just in this crisis, but it's especially more important now there is a crisis. And so what we do know, without getting into the details, is that Daniel prayed and he obviously was delivered. Think about the power of that. Think about what that means to you. there is a clear display there is the power of prayer and how God responds to it. We also know another thing that you can think of is, you know, I've been seeing that there's a lot of people that are very, very anxious. And I guess from a human perspective, that's understandable. But that's not what God wants for you. God doesn't want you to be anxious. In fact, you don't need to be anxious. Why? Well, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, when you picture casting, remember, casting is that you're literally throwing it away. You're taking something and putting it away. It is a very deliberate and purposeful action. So how do you throw away anxiety? How do you cast it away? Well, the way you're going to do that is you're going to go to God in prayer. And you're going to literally pray, Lord, I reject the fear and the anxiety that I'm feeling. And replace that fear with God's presence and God's comfort. So in prayer, reject the fear and ask God to replace that fear with the comfort. And then it would be a good time to pray one of his promises. And you will find that if you do that faithfully and pour your heart into it, you'll find that God will comfort you. And even though the storm still wails around you, you're not going to be impacted by it. You're not going to be anxious. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So again, these are things that the Lord has stated and that the Lord will always be faithful to you as you can pray these things and thank God for these promises. Because when God says he will, he didn't say I might. He says, if you do this, maybe that. There's no if, there's no maybe. He says, do this, and this is what I will do. And so that's what we need to be doing. This is why I say as believers, we know what to do. And now we need to do it and trust God with the rest. I could talk for days and days on this topic because I know that fear, even on a daily basis, without a crisis, is a big issue for most of the world. A lot of the world is driven by fear and they become totally reactive. But we as believers should not be doing that. And whenever we become fearful, we should go to the Lord and pray that, Lord, help us to reject this fear. So I won't talk for days and days. Somewhere here, Uncle Ed, I was looking for a candle. I was going to light a candle here and see if I could get the message done before the candle burned down, but I didn't have one. So maybe next time we'll do that. Anyways, just remember this. There's never been a better time in history to be a Christian. That is so true. When you look at the world that we live in, remember that, you know, in the future, there'll be other things that we'll face. And right now, you have the opportunity to share your faith just by the way you respond to what's going on now. If you pray and you read, you get into God's word and you trust him, then you will have wisdom, you will have peace, you will have confidence, and you will have comfort. And isn't that really what you want and what you need today? Isn't that really what everybody wants and needs? See, if you have those things, then those around you will get some of that as well through you. So it's very, very important for us to remember. We could worry, we could say, oh, things are so tough, things are so scary. No, just remember, there's never been a better time in history to be a Christian. Because it's so easy right now to put your faith on display. But you can't do that if you're full of fear. So it also, one of the reasons I say that is because it makes it easy to share your faith. It happens to be the best time, in what I'm calling in my lifetime, to demonstrate your faith and to share your faith with others, to offer some encouragement. And remember, what is the truth? Well, the truth is God is in control. The truth is this is temporary. It won't be that many days before you see that bell curve start to fall off the other way, and we'll come together there live and in color, and we will be singing praises and just thanking God and having testimonies about everything that he's doing through this. By the way, I do suggest as you go through it day by day, if God blesses you and gives you comfort, write it down. Just keep a journal of the ways that God comforts you. and maybe even next week, or maybe even today, maybe some of you will want to share some things that you've done. So remember this also, there's a lot of lost people in the world, and the Bible says today is the day of salvation, because those people are afraid, and they need to be, they have, anybody that has rejected God is at much bigger risk than anybody who has received Christ. And we know that, and we know all the reasons why. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 26 does say, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And we can talk about that too, and what Paul was going through, and all the things that he went through. But when you look at it again, it's all about the response. Paul always responded by praying and thanking God, and by reading scripture and sharing scripture. So let's have a word of prayer, and then maybe we can share a little time with some questions, or maybe there's something that you'd like people to know. And I think Janet mentioned earlier that it's Kim's birthday today, right?
I don't think she's on right now.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, you can just say happy birthday to Kim if you happen to see her. So let's pray. Lord, what a glorious day it is to be in your presence. And Father, though we're separated by distance, we're not separated from your presence. We each are in your presence, Father. You are here with us to comfort us, to challenge us, to encourage us, to help us to respond. Lord, we would pray for wisdom, we would pray for courage and strength, and we would pray for comfort. Lord, keep our family safe, keep those that we love safe. Father, you can defeat everything related to this virus, and we would ask, Lord, that you would lift us out of this situation, and that you would heal our land, Father, and that people would return to you, that we might be able to say without hesitation that you are our God, and we belong to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
That we have a question.
Yeah.
What was the chapter and verse in 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians. I was going to say it in guess, but now I don't want to do that. Second Corinthians. What did I do with it? That was 2 Corinthians 6:26.
That's for Cheryl Foss Dubey.
Okay.
Michelle. Michelle is on. She says people are more open to hearing God's word when life is tough.
Yes. That's absolutely true, Michelle. There's, you know, people don't know what to do. See, that's the difference. We do know what to do. We know exactly what to do. And it's easy to do, you know. Think of Daniel three times a day. He was delivered in a very dramatic way. And, you know, I just find that amazing. I find it encouraging. I see no reason why God won't do similar things for us.
Louise says, through God there is peace.
There is peace. Actually, there's only peace through God, which is absolutely a really, really good point. Scripture talks about that. You know, they say peace, peace, there is no peace. In the world, people think that peace is the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of God. And so we need to remain in his presence and close to him. And when we're fearful, we're not doing that. Remember the disciples in the boat, and the storm was raging, and they thought they were going to perish. And they went and woke Jesus up down underneath. He was down there sleeping. And then they blamed him. Don't you care that we're going to perish? Well, you know, Jesus got up and he just, you know, he spoke and calmed the storm. And they were just amazed. You know, he's going to calm this. He's going to calm us. And it's the very same thing. And he's going to demonstrate to you that he cares. Questions, thoughts?
Nobody else right now is saying anything.
Well, it seemed like a longer than a half an hour.
I
know. when I'm talking and there's no faces.
Right.
So, I want to thank you all today for sitting in the front row. First time in a long time that you've ever done that. That was awesome. The front row was full.
It's not much.
Nothing?
Nothing.
All right, so I guess we're good. Let's close in prayer. And if I get a chance, I may try to post some things this week. It's been really kind of busy, as you can imagine. We're just taking everything day by day, and I know that all of you are. But I do have my phone with me, so feel free to call. And if I'm on the phone, I will eventually get back to you. But let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to worship, that we can worship you anytime, any place, and that is pleasing to you. We can find comfort as we do that. And Lord, as Louise said, there is peace through God. And we pray that everybody would know that peace and know it as a real and personal peace. And Father, we thank you today that because of who you are, because of what you're going to do, because we can trust you and count on you, that we have victory over this situation. Lord, we pray for our leaders at the local level, at the state level, and we pray for our president and the people surrounding him. Grant them all wisdom and show them the things that they need to do, not only to, Lord, have a victory over this virus, but to keep our company, keep our country strong and prosperous. And may we lead by example, and may we come together and show each other that we can keep the command of loving our neighbors. Lord, what an opportunity this is, and we thank you for it. In your name, amen.
So
have a wonderful week.
A couple of people are saying that the sound was cutting in and out.
Okay.
Did people have... Can see if they can hear you now.
Okay, can everybody hear okay?
Because if there's something that we
it
need
could
to
be,
fix...
It could be if I look down, maybe. I don't know. I'm not I'm not Mr. Technology, that's for sure.
Okay.
No, we're good?
I think we're good.
It was probably when Janet was singing, I was singing along. No?
Okay.
Okay. Love you guys. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
So I have to wait 10 seconds.
What's that?
It says to wait. So Mike Edgecombe, who knows about this, says his froze up a little bit too, but it should play back fine later.
Hey, Mike, I'll call you later because I've got all kinds of new outlets that you can broadcast for free on. Or I'll send you an email or something with that stuff. There's different ministries that put out a list of those things. I don't know if it's any better than what we're doing or not, but I just wanted to make sure you were aware of it.
Oh, Bev says, for Cheryl. And all God's people said...
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, pray for Cheryl.
Yeah.
And all those that can't be on. I don't think Carol Ann was on. June.
Please stay well. Thank you both. Take care.